Good morning, everyone. We are on the agenda paper 5A, which is investment entity amendments, investment entity subsidiary that provides investment-related services. At November meeting, the interpretation committee discussed a request to clarify the accounting via investment entity that has an investment entity subsidiary, which provides investment-related services. The investment entity amendment introduced an exception to the consolidation requirement that an investment entity shall measure its investments in subsidiaries at fair value. There is an exception to that exception. If a subsidiary provides investment-related service, the investment entity shall not measure this subsidiary at fair value, and the investment entity shall consolidate the subsidiary instead. And there is a submission. In the case in which an investment entity subsidiary meets the definition of an investment entity, which means it has own investees, and then additionally provides investment-related services, it is unclear whether the investment entity parent should measure that subsidiary at fair value or consolidate it. And on paper 5A, we reviewed the IASB's previous decisions during the development of the investment entity amendments regarding what was decided and what was not discussed at IASB. Please take a look at page 7 of agenda paper A. Page 7 has a diagram. And there are three types of investment-related service or activities which can be provided. One is investment-related services to third parties. One is investment-related services to investors. The other one is investment-related activities to its investees. And also, subsidiary can be categorized to two groups. One is subsidiary, which is an investment entity, and the other category is subsidiary that is not an investment entity, which means the subsidiary is just operating entity, which doesn't have any investees. And the right-hand side of the diagram is clear. If subsidiary that provides investment-related service or activity is not an investment entity, in that case, consolidation is required. And also, we noted that in June 2012, the IASB made tentative decision that if investment entity parent has investment entity subsidiary, which should measure investment entity subsidiary at fair value instead of consolidation. In addition, at that time, the investment-related service to third party was not considered as an allowed investment-related service. So that is why on the diagram, investment-related service to its investors and investment-related service to related activity to investees, that is clear from the June 2012 IASB tentative decision, so no consolidation. On the other hand, at that time, investment-related service to third party was not allowed, so that is why only portion which was not really discussed at IASB is investment-related service to third parties. And we considered this situation, and before the finalization of investment entity amendment, IASB staff had various outreach to stakeholders, and our understanding was that it is not common that investment entity has investment entity subsidiary that subsidiary provide investment-related services to third parties. So that is why even that remaining portion, that is investment-related service to third parties, we think that the situation is rare. So that is why we think that developing different accounting for this circumstance would not meet the agenda criteria. So therefore, we conclude that investment entity parent should measure investment entity subsidiary at fair value in any case. So the left hand side will become a fair value measurement all the time. At the same time, we noted that the wording of the current standard is not that clear, so that is why we are also proposing some wording in the annual improvements. Thank you very much.
And I'm getting head nods from the other staff at the table that you would agree with that view. Comments from the committee? Andrew?
I support the staff recommendation. I think it does solve the definitional confusion, which is that an investment entity, by definition, does provide services. The paper outlines two alternatives. The alternative the staff recommend, alternative two, is certainly the simpler of the two. I guess it won't achieve absolute comparability between different groups that do the same things but are structured differently, depending on where they locate their service activities. But I think your own outreach would indicate it probably comes close enough, so I'd support the staff recommendation.
Scott?
I'm a little confused by the recommendation. Say that the situation is rare. We think the better accounting for it when it happens is alternative one, so we'll specify alternative two. I don't follow the logic. You know, when you said the situation is rare, I thought the next thing was going to be, so let's not bother with it, which I could have supported. But if we're going to bother with specifying the accounting for the rare situation, I think we ought to specify the accounting we think is better.
So there were a couple of reasons why we think that it's that alternative two on balance is the better answer. I think a lot of it has to do with the board's June 2012 decision that if an investment entity parent has an investment entity subsidiary, the right answer for that situation is fair value accounting. Mm-hmm. That was a pretty controversial decision. There were quite a few constituents that didn't agree with that decision. And I think it would be risky to say in this situation where there's these third party services, we're going to basically override that June 2012 decision and come up with this specialized accounting that might be complicated in terms of when you're breaking apart the third party services versus the direct investments. And just all in all, it would be better to have a simpler answer that is consistent with the June 2012 decision and not call that kind of into question.
Now I'm more confused because I thought the paper went to great lengths to say that the June 2012 decision didn't consider this situation.
Yes, so the June 2012 decision didn't consider the situation where you're an investment entity subsidiary that provided services to third parties, but it definitely considered, you know, in the graph on page 7, if you provide services to your investors or to your
yes.
investees. And so it's more just a matter of being consistent with all of those situations.
You're still looking confused, Scott. So
I'm still quite confused. I thought the paper went to great lengths to say we should not assume what the board would have done with this situation because they didn't discuss it. It wasn't up for thinking. So don't try to figure out what the board would have done. And then the paper went on to say we think alternative one is the better accounting. So, that's got me confused.
I think what we're trying to say, Scott, is that the board did spend time at the June decision. The board weren't thinking that these services would be provided to third parties. So
right.
It was just the other situations. And as Sarah said, it was quite controversial at the time because there were a lot of arguments to say that the better accounting, if those services are substantial, maybe to consolidate, and the board spent quite some time debating this issue and came to the very clear decision that fair value is the accounting treatment that was required. It was only later then there was a different discussion about whether services to third parties should stop an entity from being classified as an investment entity.
Right.
And that conversation wasn't done in the context of subsidiaries. It was talking about an entity, should it be disqualified from being an investment entity if it did those third parties? And the board's decision, and I'm looking at board members to correct me if I'm not recalling this properly, was that in those circumstances, providing these services is so closely related to the investment activities that it shouldn't preclude those entities from being investment entities. But the board did acknowledge that some information could be lost because obviously these third parties, you're getting separate fee income and there'll be costs incurred for providing those services. And there was a conversation about how important that information was. But the decision at the end was still didn't disrupt the June decision. And in this paper, we just wanted to acknowledge some of those arguments to say there may well be some better information if you've got these third-party services in a subsidiary, because that information about the separate fee income, the separate costs, would be lost because we're bringing that subsidiary up at fair value. But so that's an acknowledgement. We didn't want to sweep that argument under the carpet and say that it's, you know, it's not a valid argument. It may well be, if the situation was common enough, that we would perhaps need to go back and rethink the decision. But the evidence we've got is that we're not in a position because we don't think that it's a problem in practice.
Okay. Joanna?
Does that help? Well, interestingly, I actually, at the end of your 23, paragraph 23, when you said, actually, it's very uncommon, I've written, in which case, why are we looking at it? Having said that, though, I read this paper, if you like, differently from Scott in terms of, I read it exactly as you have actually articulated it. And therefore, I read paragraph 24 as you saying it may be better accounting. But actually, to be consistent, then we should do it this way. And to me, I absolutely support where you're at, because to me, it absolutely fits consistently with those decisions. And to do anything else, to me, would actually raise the question as to that June 12 decision on everything else, because it is, so it fits perfectly. Now, whether the words in the paper actually said that, but I read through it or something, because I effectively ended up with where you're saying. So I'm, cut a long story short, I'm supportive of the staff recommendation.
I mean, the reason why we're doing something about it is because we acknowledge the actual wording in the standard raises a question, and we're just trying to eliminate that question.
Laurence?
I have already received feedback that what you have written in that sentence, paragraph 23, that subsidiary providing investment-related services are not common, is not necessarily correct. but I do support where you are getting, because similarly to what Andrew said, it's a simpler answer, and it seems consistent with the board's logic, even if not expressed entirely, and the board will have an opportunity to oppose if they are not happy with the amendment.
Let's have Reinhardt, then Andrew, then John.
My comments were going to be very similar to Laurence's, because based on some feedback we've had, we're not sure how rare it is. We think some of the large private equity houses may in fact have a business model that is similar to this. But having said that, certainly I'm supportive of the direction the staff is going, and with respect, also supportive of the wording of the draft proposed amendments.
And maybe just to go into a little bit of detail about the fact patterns that we were given kind of during the outreach period. I mean, we don't want to say at all that it would be rare necessarily for an investment entity to provide those services to third parties. That's why the board did take that issue on again. It's just that the fact patterns that we were given were very much an operating subsidiary, a separate operating subsidiary, was the one that provided those third-party services.
Andrew?
And the point I was going to make has been clarified by the staff.
Okay. John?
Yeah, I was just going to say I support the staff recommendation. I think it's consistent with the
with the board's decisions that investment entity subsidiaries are consolidated, and only the exception is operational subsidiaries that provide these services. So it seems to me entirely consistent, and we should clarify the wording.
Tony?
I guess my sense is that the proposed answer is simple, and it clarifies what is currently not clear. And I also understand, as others have said, it is consistent with where the board got to, albeit not explicitly. And I just wonder if we're going to go ahead with a proposed amendment, whether the reasons for getting there could be explained more clearly, because I'm like Scott, I didn't quite follow it through the paper, that you could read the paper to say, well, actually the better accounting would be to unscramble these two things. And I'm not sure at the moment that the suggested amendments articulate clearly why we're going to go this way.
Valid point. Okay.
On the phones?
On the phones. Sandy?
I agree with the staff's recommendation.
Okay. Shelley, anything to add?
Nothing to add, thanks.
Luca, are you there? Hope springs eternal. All right, I see general support with one possible exception for the staff recommendation. So we'll go ahead on that basis. Now we're going to 5B.